Our Father, we come to you again today, and we do thank you for this wonderful day you've given to us to come and serve you and to worship you. And Lord, we thank you for those who across this county and the state and even America who graduate from high school, special day in their life. And we do pray that somehow or another, many of those who've been raised in church won't find themselves departing from the church, thinking maybe God is can be delayed or maybe not even needed. Lord, we pray somehow or another they realize that God is the God who we're going to stand before one day, and he's given us his record and his book of his what he desires and wants. And we pray this would be a rewarding day for all of us as we celebrate this time for seniors. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Have your Bibles, please turn with me over to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians chapter 4. I want to read verses 1 through 9, and then I'll give the title of the message. This day we are looking at our youth, and also for those who are not here, who will hear this later, and for others who are maybe other places that will hear it on the website. Paul said this to the church at Philippi and to the Philippians. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech you, Herodias, and beseech you, Syntyche, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. That simply means let your gentleness, or kind of the way you are as far as your life in a gentle way, be known unto the Lord. Why? Because the Lord is at hand. That amazes me. I circle that in my Bible for time and past, and when I read that, it always amazes me. This is about 64 AD, when Paul wrote this to the church, to the Philippians, the church at Philippi. And notice he said here, at this time, let your moderation be known unto all men. It's important that this happen. Your gentleness, that which God has given you to present in a gentle way, he said, why is that? For the Lord is at hand. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if he was at hand at 64 AD, you know he's at hand today. Amen. That's about 2,000 years ago. And Christ hadn't come back yet. Why, preacher? Because he's long-suffering. Amen. Because he's forbearing. Because he's not wishing that any should perish. And every person who stands before the great white throne of God Almighty, and he says, depart from me, I never knew you, they'll not be able to say one thing, because God has given ample time for generations after generations to know who he is. And he's given the potential that all could be saved. And so he goes on and said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made on unto God. And the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And what a joy to know that, because you're going to be faced with things in this life that you need the peace of God. The only thing that gets you through, anything this world has to offer won't get you through. It takes the peace of God to get you through it. And if you live long enough, you will face those things and realize how powerful that verse of Scripture is. And then he said in verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Don't ever let these things get out of your mind, for God can impress these things on your heart to bring about life in a way that where you can look at what has been said in verse 4, rejoice always in the Lord. Again, I say rejoice. And then he says, those things which you have both learned. Think on these things in verse 8. But then he said, those things which ye have both learned, he's talking also to the Christians here, and received and heard and seen in me. It's very important that unsaved people, that when they get born into the family of God, become a child of God, to have an example to look at, and there are not too many examples in the Christian arena today, that unsaved people, when they get saved as babes in Christ, can look at someone and say, I need a pattern my life after someone I can see until I learn enough to be a mature Christian of what God wants me to do. And Paul said, though, he could say, since he got saved on the road to Damascus, his life was what it ought to be, where he said that those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Amen. We know what that means, doesn't it? Yet you can follow those things, and if you will, God will honor, be honored, and he will honor you in this life. And the God of peace, he says, shall be with you. If you do those things, the God of peace shall be with you. Now, this one, I want to speak to young graduates from high school, but not from life. Now, if you've graduated from high school in here sometime in the past, you graduated from high school, but you hadn't graduated from life. You may graduate from college, but you hadn't graduated from life. You have lived your life till your heart quits beating. So there's some things we need to understand that what God talks about graduation, when we talk about graduation and some things that takes place from one phase of life to another, we're going through those phases all the time. It takes a lot of hard work and studying to graduate from any school today. And anybody who goes to school understands that, unless you've got a photographic mind, and I don't see anybody here who's had that. I believe if you had a photographic mind, we'd know about it. Mm-hmm. If you have, let me know afterwards. I'd love to meet you. Amen. But you find if you do anything in school, you'll study if you pass. Some people say, well, there's people nowadays in high school get passed because sometimes they, you know, just want to pass them on through. I don't think many people get through that easy. Do you? I believe the high schools themselves have enough that you have to study some if you're going to pass. If you don't study at all, you're never going to pass anything. And by the way, test comes, and God sends tests. He'll let you grow in grace and knowledge to a point, and then there'll come a time you have a test. And how you go through that test, and it won't come like you think it would come, but every one of us will go through tests. Things we face in this life becomes tests. Heartaches become tests. Troubles become tests to see how well we have matured to handle things in this life. If we don't pass the test, we'll end up just doing the same things where we're at and have no advancement at all. The title of the message is applicable to our graduates today, but it's applicable to everyone that's in here. If you've ever done anything in life, especially as an adult. And yet, this is only one step in their continued studies in life. And yet, their education and spiritual growth will continue to the next level of God's will for their lives if they want his will. And that's for every one of us. Wherever you're at in life, if you want the next level, it'll be you want it because God's not going to force it on you. And if you want it, he'll do everything in the world to mature you to the point that you can be that person that God wants you to be. We're all in the Lord's school that leads to spiritual growth and maturity if you're born again. Now, if you say, look in the mirror and say, you know, I trusted Christ as my Savior, I've been born into the family of God, then I want you to know you're in God's school and this is your textbook. And what you go through every day in life will be confronted with something that God in this book has got us to learn. And sometimes if we won't learn it like we should, we go through circumstances that cause us to learn. And there's not a circumstance you and I go through that we don't learn something. That's the reason why, young folks, when you see your parents get up in A's, they may tell you about things that they might have done before because ever seem like all teenagers never listen to their parents all the time. But I'll tell you, when you get to be a parent, you'll find out and leave the teenage era, you find out your parents knew a whole lot more than what you thought you did. As a matter of fact, you're going to find out if you have children, you need to go talk to them about some things to do about your children. Especially if they're Christians, because they have an advantage that the world has nothing about, doesn't know anything about. We're all in the Lord's school. So the question is for all of us, do we want to graduate with spiritual honor from here and receive the blessing that God has promised for us in this life and the life to come? Because there are two places to look forward to. Serve God here as we should, and when the life comes on the other side, we'll be rewarded there also. God will reward us here, and bless us, bring success in life, and reward us there. God's curriculum will be taught over the whole of one's life by the Holy Spirit. And our graduation will take place at the bema seat of Christ when we rise from the dead after the rapture. Every last one of us who we are, we may graduate from high school, move to another level, graduate from college, move to another level. We may take courses through the period of time to have advanced learning. But the day will come that we'll graduate from this life. And if we're in Jesus Christ, we'll be at the bema seat of Christ after the rapture. Now, at that time, listen to me. I'm not talking about the unsaved. That's a different place. They got a horrible place to go to, and it's sad they won't listen now, but one day they wish they had. I love to know the times I've been laughed at and mocked, especially people who really live in sin, and you try to talk to them a little bit. It amazes me how much they hate the name of Jesus Christ and turn it against you because they don't plan to change their life. Anyone's not planning to change their life when God deals with them, you can't do nothing with them. God could, but he won't until the time comes. God can do with us anything he wants to. By the way, he's still God and he's still most powerful.
Amen.
And so he could do it, but he won't. He won't coerce us, but he said the day will come that we wished he had. But we're talking about those who are saved now. Our graduation will come, take place at the Bema Seat of Jesus Christ. At that time, some will graduate with honors that will glorify our Savior because they did glorify him. Others will barely pass and suffer great loss, yet, according to 1 Corinthians 3, verse 10 to 15, be a good time to read that sometime. Yet, as far as the fire is concerned, to try our works, the works will be consumed, but yet, so as by fire will be saved. That's what Paul told the church at Corinth, the most carnal church that we have in the Bible. But there will be many that will not even make the class. As a matter of fact, it's just about to the place that whereas, in other words, if you do not trust Jesus as Savior, you'll not make the class. Uh-huh. The only way you can get in this class is this family. In fact, the family of God is the class that we're talking about. Now, when we think about seniors and so forth, you know, we have sometimes you have some people excel a lot. Sometimes you have some that maybe not do quite as good. And sometimes parents rejoice. And I think that. I heard a dad said that he was graduating his son from high school. And his mother wanted to take some pictures. You know how that is. And she told him to pose. And the boy had his cap and gowns on. He was posing. He said, "Now, son, put your arms around your dad's shoulder, if you will, and let me take one of you. And I want you to look natural." And the dad said to her, said, "Honey, if you want him to look natural, why don't you just have put his hand in my pocketbook?" Amen. That's where everything's at, isn't it? Another case where I heard a young fellow named Jeffrey. He was not one of the smartest ones in the class, but sometimes those people in the class who think they're the smartest may not be as smart as the one they think's not so smart. And Jeffrey wasn't going past that day because of some reason he had made up. And so the class that began to chant this phrase in the auditorium to the principal, "Let Jeffrey graduate. Let Jeffrey graduate. Let Jeffrey." And he kept saying over, and the principal said, "Oh, be quiet. Calm down." And he said, "I'll tell you, Jeffrey, come here." So, "Jeffrey, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you one question. If you can answer that question, I'm going to let you graduate." And so he come up there. And the principal said, "Now, Jeffrey, look at me." He said, if I had five apples in this hand, my right hand, and I had five apples in this hand, my left hand, how many apples would I have?" And Jeffrey thought a few minutes, and he said, Well, sir, you'd have 10 apples. And the senior class said, "Give him another chance. Give him another chance." It's one that they all had graduated, isn't it? Now, that's high school jokes. I'm going to tell you about a college joke. And then I'm going to preach the rest of this message. So, you look like you're about gone. I had to do something. I don't have any buttons to hit to make you feel a little shocked, you know. So. Now, this particular two fellows were in college. They were freshmen. They had a science test. And they got in one of those... Where they join clubs, sonora. That's right. You got it right. Amen. he got in one of those, and he said, they heard about a party it was going to be too, so they went to a party, and they didn't get back to late, and they couldn't study, so they got up the next morning, and went to the professor, and told the professor, "Listen. We was out last night, but said we started home. You don't understand. We started home, had a flat tire, and said went to get the spare out, and the spare was flat. And we didn't get home early this morning. It was just a mess. Would you let us have the test tomorrow instead of today?" And the professor said, "You know what? I'll be glad to do that." He said, "You go ahead and study tonight, and I'll let you have it tomorrow." Well, the next day they came, and so he took them both and put in different rooms. He said he'd pass out the test to him. Said, "I'm going to give this to you, but it's got to be in different rooms." And they got the first question. It's some question about the free radical formation of life of 5 points on it. And they knew that. And they were both, "I'm just elated." Said, "This is going to be the easiest test we ever had." And then turned to page two. And then the second question said, "Which tire was flat the other night when you had flat tire. Of course, they didn't pass. Well, anyhow, 4 points quickly on graduated from high school, but not for life. Number one, to graduate from any school, especially high school and college, it takes commitment. You have to be committed. If not, you're not going to do. You say somebody's just a whiz in studying, but you'd be surprised. Even a person who's got a high IQ to some degree has to study a lot. If it's real high, maybe less than I would have to, because mine must have been low, because I'd study all the time. But commitment requires discipline. The word discipline means to train in obedience or to have self-control by punishment or imposing rules on lives. And I thought about it. I think that I'd prefer to learn discipline by obeying the rules rather than being punishment. But it takes discipline to graduate from any school. And that requires time. That requires effort. That requires hard work in life. Studying is hard work. The Bible says studying is wearisome. And when you study God's Word, because you have the Holy Spirit there to help, but He won't do it for us. Sometimes we get lucky and get someone to do it for us in this life. God, the Holy Spirit, will never do it for us. But He'll help us if we put the time that's there. Not all who graduate will reap a reward. Why? 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that. They did commit themselves enough to finish the task, and they were not obedient to the Lord like they should be. Without learning self-discipline, all the education, now please hear this, without learning self-discipline in this life, all the education in this world will be worthless in the end if it's not like it should be and end up where God wants us to be. All Christians are in the college of learning, and they're living by God's word as much so in this world as in preparing for the world to come. So again, to graduate takes a commitment. Number two example that God shows us in knowing the gospel that Jesus Christ called and trained His 12 disciples for 3.5 years. They lived with Him. He taught them constantly all the time. Jesus said that for us to follow Him, one must discipline himself inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly is to be disciplined so we can know what to do outwardly that would honor Him. Inwardly, if we're not being disciplined inwardly by the Word of God and by the Holy Spirit, we're not doing what we should do outwardly that would please Him. Because if we don't know, we can't do, and the only way we can know is to be committed inwardly to start with in this particular life. Too many times, believers on the sidelines doing very little to serve our Lord. It is kind of like Navy Yards. I think we have one down here in Wimbledon. I was looking up. Navy Yards have ships in them. They call them in the mothball for the Navy that's sitting in the water. The weather where they're at, they're just out there anchored down. They're in water. But where they're at, they weather the coastal plains and the coastal storms that comes in, but they never go anywhere. They never do anything. They're just there. They've done their things in the past, but they settle down. Sometimes Christians serve God early in their life, and then they settle down like in mothballs of some kind. We don't want to become mothball Christians. We want to be committed. We want to be committed Christians to Christ's work. In John chapter 6, to start with, Jesus said there was a lot of folks that followed Him. In verse 6, He shows us that as they followed Jesus, He said that there were many that followed Him, but they went back and walked no more with Him. What a sad commentary that some people, a number of people followed Him and then left Him, and they said they didn't go back to Him anymore because of what He said. His words were too strong. He talked about eating flesh and talking about His flesh, and they could never get it. You know why? It takes the Holy Spirit of God for you to understand when it talks about eating flesh. Eating flesh is talking about the Word of God. Eating flesh is believing about Jesus Christ. He refers to His body as like the manna in the Israelites in the wilderness. And He said, He was talking about if we don't partake of Him, then we'll not be able to have begin to help this body spiritually or help this new person spiritually do what God would have us to do. In the Lord's school, believers are our classmates, and graduation means to discipline ourselves in regard to other people. Our commencement service are not the end. They're the beginning of one's service to our Lord. And we have to learn to apply and practice biblical principles in order to be successful as the Lord's disciples. Now notice in chapter 4 here, Paul loved these Philippians. He said in verse 1, watch, he said, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, long for my joy and crown to so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. What an amazing thing that how he loved these people. John said in 3 John verse 4, John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. You know, the greatest thing in this world, the world looks at it, if you could get out of high school, get out of college, and be successful in the eyes of men, they would give you plaques and many things to recognize you. But did you know you could have everything man has to offer and still come up short? Because God has much more to offer. Everything man's offered here only lives here, and then those things will be passed. By the way, those who come after you don't care that much about those things we win. If you got plaques and so forth, a generation, if God lets it go, they don't tell where those things will be. Unless you're lucky like a, or have the funds like a president does, you can build a library somewhere or another where they can, and none of us can do that. So most of the time, plaques that we win, two generations now, they won't care anything about that much unless it's just, they just keep it for some reason because they're trying to do things for plaques themselves. Or at least they're trying to get ahead in this life, just like we have when we were here. And so our commencement services are not the end. We learn to apply and practice biblical principles to be successful with the Lord. And of course, Paul said that the Philippians were his crown and joy in verse 1. You see that? When I look at what John said, I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. That's a blessing to me. To be a pastor of a church and see people that have been saved through the years serving God, they move away and you hear, there's no greater joy to my heart as a child of God and as a minister and a pastor of this church to hear people who move away of serving God like they were when they were here or start serving God. It blesses my heart, some 14, 15 preachers going out of here when I hear back that they are serving God somewhere or another and hear the record that's happened. And then it breaks my heart to hear someone fall by the wayside. I understand a little bit, I think, about what John is talking about here, how he delighted in hearing from those that leave his company in other places and sees that they're actually serving God. God is honored when his children serve him. Bible truths have no meaning unless you commit yourself to them, making them a part of your life. And this requires great fortitude in the face of difficulties. I wish I could stand here and tell us that none of us would face difficulties. But I've been 54 years, and I've seen enough in my life to know every one of you. If you live long enough, you're going to face difficulties. And it's going to come at a time when you think not. And you're going to find out that the things of this world may, you know, kindly ease a little bit, but they can't help us like God. And this requires fortitude in the face of difficulties, where everyone does not accept the principles of God's life. When you face these things, everybody in this world don't accept the principles of God's life like you do. And they sometimes will try to discourage you, that you might leave the principles of God's life because they say it don't work. That's the reason I've never become a Christian. It don't work. Well, I'm a Christian and it has worked. It does work. And it's kept me for 54 years. And I believe I'm old enough now that the Lord calls me home. He'll still keep me. God's grace that saved me is the same grace that teaches me. And this book tells me that. So I see that graduation takes commitment. And God Almighty showed us in his son how his son had 3.5 years of teaching his disciples to carry on after he's left. Now, the question is, when you're born again, how do you test your spirituality? A good barometer. You can't test it unless you're born again. But a good barometer after you're born again is how you react to the problems in life that you walk through. And young folks, this is Greek now, I'm sure, to many in here and others who will be seniors later. But believe me, this will work, what Paul's saying here, if we'll just listen to it. The true graduate in the Lord's school learns the value of being joyful and in this life even happy because God can help us be that way. In the midst of circumstances, there can be a joy that overflows you that you cannot explain, but it's certainly a joy when it happens. Paul instructs us twice to rejoice in the Lord always, and again he says, I rejoice. Isn't that interesting? Rejoice in the Lord always, and then just in case you didn't get it, he said, and again, I say rejoice. Now, folks, the word always covers that. You mean to tell me I can be in the worst circumstances of life and rejoice? I don't think any of us had any worse than what Paul had, and he could shout the victory even in prison. He was shouting the victory when he lost his head on the chopping block. Why? Because his victory was not in things in this world, but in the one who's beyond this world, God himself through his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul instructs us to rejoice in the Lord And again, he said, I say rejoice. Rejoicing is a sure cure for depression. Rejoicing is a cure for pride and hurt feelings. Rejoicing is for feeling a being slight, a cure for that, and a lot of other discouraging things. This is a hard lesson to learn. It's a hard lesson to apply, ladies and gentlemen, but we must work at it because it works. It's not God's fault. It's here. It's documented. The Holy Spirit's here to help us, but it has to be applied if it's going to work. School is not an end in itself. It's to prepare us for the challenge that we'll face in this particular life. Life is one continuous school and learning process all the time. Challenges, moving from one level to another. Even our failures, in God's sight, are part of our schools. Because He'll let us see how much we need Him, and we come to Him, He'll give us a peace He's talking about here that passes all understanding. I like that. That says to me, if I go to God and pray about something in my life, which I have in the past, and not get it right then, God would give me a peace that passes understanding. The world don't have that. They're looking peace. Right? The Bible said they'll say peace, 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 and never comes. But you're going to give you, in the midst of circumstance, a peace that passes understanding. Somehow or another, we just learn how to give it to God and know that He's going to hold us through the whole thing. And that's what Paul is saying here to these people as you have to go through these things. Every time our life, either in every test in life, enforces our training or teaches us a lesson that we did not completely learn in life until the test came. In Philippians 4, verse 7, this is a place where the power is found. Notice what he said, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's the key. The peace of God, notice, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. There is no peace with God without Jesus Christ. Amen. And there's no peace with God without obeying what God tells us to do in His precious word. And so there is a success in the flesh that is of no real value in the program of God. Peace of God. Notice he said, and the peace of God. He didn't say the peace of the world. You see that? Some people like change that. No, he said the peace of God. What is that peace? You remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross? Christ called, forgive them. He said, I'll give you my peace. What was his peace? Christ said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's a peace that God has for us in this particular life. Thank the Lord for that. Then notice in verse 6, Paul said, be careful for nothing. What does that mean? Do not be so anxious about this present life that you leave out eternal things. Temporal things literally means nothing in the end. And that's the thing. God gives them to us to joy, but the things He gives us are temporary. He gives us to joy, but at the same time used that He might build His kingdom. And that which builds His kingdom will merit not only here, but in eternity one day when we stand before the Lord. So we find ourselves saying simply, the hurts and the failures of this life will pass away for the child of God. They are short-lived. And that's the reason God said, I'll give you the peace of God that passes understanding. Because what you're in, whatever you go through, is only going to be a short period of time. You say, well, preacher, I know some people. I do too. I know Brother Johnson years ago over here. One of the fellows I led to the Lord in the early part of my ministry here, and his wife, Bo, was a farmer out here. He had crippled arthritis for 3.5 years. He laid in a fetus position like a little baby and could not even move unless someone moved him for over 3 years. But 3 years compared to eternity is a short time. And he and his wife both are in heaven now. I tell you, he don't have crippled arthritis today. One day he's going to have a glorified body. And what body God give him now until we get there on the other side to get glorified body? It's nothing crippled about it whatsoever in life. Do not get so emotional, worked up over temporal things that God has left out. Notice in verse 6, he said this. He said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Notice again, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. You come before the Lord. The key to the peace that he's talking about in verse 7, which is this peace of God. This key is the peace when verse 4, 5, and 6 are met. This is how that peace, when verse 4, 5, and 6 is met, that verse 7 is the key to the peace that God's talking about, which passes episode understanding. Without the Lord, there can be no real peace in our lives. and due to disappointments and troubles that always keep coming up. So we must learn how to test our spirituality, and it starts with being born again. Now, like the last verses, and this is the close. Watch, if you will, as he says in chapter 4, verse 6 through 8. Paul sums the whole matter up that will keep us all on track, and he gives us six objects that we can focus on at this time. Notice each statement starts out with whatsoever. Whatsoever. Watch this now. Whatsoever first is true. Anything that's true with God, God's with starts with his word. So we're going to find truth for him. It's going to come from his word. Whatsoever thing is honest, that which is worth of respect and has dignified meaning is that which is honest. Whatsoever thing is justice, that which is morally right. What morally right will set forth justice in a way that will in turn be a blessing here and reap rewards in heaven. Again, he says whatsoever true, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever is justice. Then notice he said whatsoever is pure. What is pure? That which is not corrupt, that which is not mixed with error and has no impurity in it. Then he says whatsoever things are lovely, that which promotes peace, not bitterness, not holding grudges, but forgiving and giving others the benefit of doubt. God's relationship with others brings joy to one's life. Then he said, whatsoever is good report, that which is commending, that which is courteous and kind and respectful, respecting the love of Christ, representing the love of Christ to others. Now, if you notice, he gives this in sequence. They're listed in order the way to learn. He starts out, he said, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honest, whatsoever is justice, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is good report. Now, when you follow that, then you move from there. You move from the practice them from the last one to the first one. When you learn the list, whatsoever is true, honest, justice, pure, lovely, and good report, then when you practice it, it reverses. Whatsoever is good report is going to make you, as you follow this list. If you come down here from truth to good report, good report then, which is commending a courteous, kind, respect for representation of the love of Christ. You're going to have, your report's going to be about Jesus Christ. Or you missed that somewhere or another. And then when you give the report, then it's lovely. Why? Because he promotes peace and not bitterness and not holding grudges and forgiving people. It's pure. Why? Because this means it's not corrupt when it's happening. There's no individual gain in it in the sense. Not doing it for some personal gain because it's right and brings the harmony of God in our heart and gives us peace. Then this also brings justice. Why? Because that which is not corrupt is going to automatically be that which is morally right. And then which is honest, you're going to be, you'll be worth one's respect. And you can't do any of those without the word of God hid in our heart. So he lists them one way, and then to practice, they go how they work in the reverse order at that particular time. Then he said, if there be any virtue, the next word. These are the things that help us understand the peace of God that bringeth understanding. And he said, if there be any virtue, that's having a right, high moral standard. Be careful to cultivate this life. The Christian life, be careful that you cultivate it. If not, Satan's going to cultivate it for you. If you don't have listen, you can study all the academics in this world and learn a lot of things, but it will never help you internally because you need a power that's more powerful than humanity. And that's the Holy Spirit of God. And he does that through God's precious word at this time. He said, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, let them be the object of your attention. Paul said to the church at Philippi, listen, Philippians, let these be the object of your attention. When you go through life, thank God for the opportunities. Work hard as a worker. Set your goals. And whatever it is, reach those goals for individuality, but for the glory of God mainly. But don't set your goals and leave God out, because you'll never win. You may get plaques here, and people may say, well, build a building your name. One day that building's going to be destroyed. Nothing wrong in building a building when God's first. It'd be nice if God help us with our colleges someday. Someone would say, you know what, I'm going to put my name on a building if you put it up. Yeah, why not? Amen. Jerry Falwell did that a whole lot of it, Lynchburg. Why, what's wrong with that? Someone do something for the Lord. But I'm saying you don't put your name on a building to leave God out. Mm-hmm. You don't get a thing but your name, and eventually that would be destroyed too in life. So if there be any praise, think on these things. Let the object, these objects be that which in turn that you, your attention, the things you study, the things that you practice. These bless us to graduate with honors from God's school of life, as well as the schools of this world. Now I want to say again to those, and not only here, but any other, and listen to this later, to the class of 2014 across our state. But my desire for you is for you to graduate to an abundant life of peace and joy and also prosperity to the highest standard in life here and in eternity. And you can. You can. God will bless here to accomplish many things. But the compass is, Lord, that I might be a better servant for you. Because my end is not what I have here. My end is to serve you. And you have to make that choice. God won't make it for us. And he'll help us through life as we do that. To do this, one must obey God first, last, and always. We can live with Christ and have him to direct us, strengthen us, bless us, reward us here. Or we can live without him, do things our own way, live a defeated life, allowing life's problems and difficulties to destroy us by saying one thing and practicing something else. And we live in an age today of religion where that's happened a lot, because we have a lot of, let's say sheep Christian in sheep clothes. That they're finding themselves saying one thing, doing something else. Ladies and gentlemen, and you've got to understand, God is not fickle. God is not confused. He didn't say something and say, I didn't really mean that. He says it because it's true. The choice is ours. God said, live for me and live not only here, but throughout eternity. We may graduate from high school. We may graduate from college. We may graduate from other classes and times in our life. But we will not graduate from life itself until God calls us home. And when he calls us home, ladies and gentlemen, then he would want us to be in this life to be rewarded. If you do a good, if you're in high school or even college, you do something tremendously to graduate from high school or college, and you come to the top of your class, they get rewards for that. What an amazing thing. We don't have to worry about being the top of God's class. We just have to be worried about where we obey him according to what we can do. And there are rewards there. 1 Corinthians 3 tells us that. May each day of your life, and I say this to those who are graduating, maybe think about graduating next year. May each day of your life, you will climb the ladder of success in this life for yourself, but first for God's glory. And if you climb the ladder for God's glory, Lord, my light must shine wherever I'm at, and I want you to be first. If you climb the ladder of success in this life for God's glory, then that success not only be here but in heaven one day, because you'll be finding you won't let that success take you away from God and doing what God said to do. You'll find yourself being more on fire because you can't do something for God and him put you by the wayside. The circumstance that face you will cause you to develop more what you can do. There have been many people laid aside at times and physical problems and did more for God than they had during their life while they had good health. And yet on the other hand, he wants us to let him be first in everything that you and I do. And by the way, if he's first, you can deceive, and I can deceive you. You can deceive me, but none of us can deceive God. He knows what's right, genuine, or not right and genuine. And that's the only thing that matters. There's a lot of times now, he says as a minister, I'll give a report to people someday. But God don't really need that, but he lets us show that in this life, there are things that you look at people to do biblically or not, that's not biblically, and when there's a report to be given, you have to give what's biblically to be fair. And yet when we stand before God, I won't give nothing to you and you won't give nothing to me because God knows it all. So young folks, rejoice on what you've done. Think about what God wants you to do and think about whatever it is, whatever it is. Well, I want to do it. My vocation I'm going into, going to college level, if I'm going to study field, science, technology, whatever it is. Lord, I want to study it, but I want to stay with you so nothing will take me away from what my mission on earth is, and that's to serve the living God. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the day. Lord, thank you so much that graduating from high school is not graduating for life. And we will have to live our lives here. And as we do, dear Father, we need your help. There's no way we can face things that we face. We need, Father, not on this life, but need the one to guide us through the exodus of death so we don't have to walk through the shadow of death by ourselves. Lord, the fear of death is the fear of everyone. Satan can trick a lot of people in thinking that even death, you know, everybody's going to heaven. Everybody's going to be all right when on the other side. Lord, if that be the case, then you didn't need Jesus Christ to come. Why would you let your son come if you're going to save everybody to him? Why? Satan deceived Eve in her situation, and Satan is powerful to deceive anybody else. We need to understand this book is true. It's God's word. Dear Father, help someone to see that. And the only way to get into the family of God is through the birth, just like the only way to get into the physical life is the physical birth. And dear Father, for our young folks who are graduating high school and for others who are college, I pray you bless them, direct them, be close to them. Dear Lord, may they find that inclination in their heart to say, Lord, I'm going to chart my course with your help, but please be in the center of it. Lord, I may have good help now, but I've seen enough in life, and as they grow in experience-wise, there'll come a time help will leave us because we're dying every day. The body itself, cells are dying. One day they will not reproduce themselves. And the reason for that is to understand because of the wages of sin is death. But I'm glad you said in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Help someone to see that this day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.